yönetiminin de ya genel senatörlerinin Türkiye Tanrı'nın bir sınavı İkinci Anadolu Mantele Sayın Sosyal Anadolu Dedi Sayın Sosyal Anadolu Ben Şikabı Türkçe Bir Sınavı Beylesi İkinci Sınavı Tabun Ediyor Sayın Sınavı The doors of the of good fortune, of Krishna's blessings, they open quite wide on holy auspicious days such as Janmashtami. What we would I'd like to express my appreciation for all the different presentations that the devotees offered. And for this particular presentation, we're going to have a Leela Kirtan, which means that the pastimes of Krishna's birth are going to be mixed with the chanting of Krishna's holy names. So now, we'll begin by chanting Krishna's holy names, and please, can we close those doors? Is that possible? Please, during the kirtan, please chant with full-heartedness. What does that mean? It means that the chanting of Krishna's holy names, the Hare Krishna mantra, is a sincere calling out of the soul of our true self to awaken our relationship with Krishna. So please chant in that mood while we're chanting. We'll chant for some minutes. And then we'll move into the Leela by hearing of Krishna's birth.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Hare
try to imagine, although we can't, how beautiful unlimited beauty is. Krishna possesses unlimited beauty. And whatever beauty exists in this world is just a drop from the ocean, the reservoir of unlimited beauty, Krishna. Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly strong, unlimitedly intelligent, unlimitedly renowned. And that Supreme Lord, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, on this day, so many thousands of years ago, exactly Bharabhaji, 12 midnight, he advented himself. Why? Why or what could cause someone who is unlimitedly powerful, who is Swatantra? What does Swatantra mean?
Independent.
What could cause him to come to this world? Actually, there are so many reasons, but ultimately, there is only one reason, and that one reason is because he desired to do so. Please listen, as we will hear the Leela of Krishna's advent. Once the world was overburdened by the unnecessary defense force of different kings. They were actually demons, asuras, but they were posing themselves as kings, as the royal order. At that time, the predominating deity of this earth, whose name is Bhumi, she went to see Lord Brahma to tell him of her plight. Bhumi assumed the form of a cow, and with tears in her eyes, she presented herself before Brahma. She wept just to invoke his compassion. And after Brahma heard of the calamitous position of the earth, he too became aggrieved, and he at once started for the ocean of milk where Lord Vishnu resides. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the devatas, the demigods, headed by Lord Shiva, and Bhumi also followed. And arriving at the shore of the milk ocean, all the demigods began to offer the Purusha Shukta prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they heard no response. Then, Lord Brahma personally sat down in meditation, and a message was transmitted from Lord Vishnu to Lord Brahma, who then broadcast the message to all the devatas, to all the demigods. And this was the message. This was the Lord's response. The Supreme Personality of Godhead would appear on this earth very soon, along with all his supremely powerful potencies. And as long as he remained on earth, he would perform the mission of annihilating all the demons and to re-establish the devotees. And at that time, during that period, the demigods, the devatas, should also remain on earth to assist him. All the demigods, the Lord said, should immediately take birth in the Yadu dynasty to assist the Lord in executing his mission. For in that dynasty, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God himself, he would personally advent himself. He would take birth as the son of Vasudeva. after instructing and pacifying all the demigods in Bhumi with sweet words. Lord Brahma, the father of all the progenitors of the universal population, he departed for his own abode, named Brahmaloka. Sometime later, Vasudeva, who was the son of Surasena, just after marrying Devaki, was going home on his chariot with his newly wedded wife. And at that time, Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, in order to please his sister Devaki, had voluntarily taken the reins of the horses of Vasudeva's chariot, and he himself was driving the chariot to Vasudeva's home. Devaka, the father of Devaki, had contributed a huge dowry to honor the auspicious occasion of his daughter's marriage. The dowry consisted of 400 elephants that were fully decorated with golden garlands, and it included 15,000 decorated horses and 1,800 chariots. He also arranged for 200 beautiful girls to follow his daughter. And while the bride and the bridegroom were passing along on his chariot, various musical instruments played, conch shells were blown, bugles, drums, kettle drums, all combined together to indicate the auspicious occasion. The procession, the wedding procession, was passing very pleasingly, and suddenly a sound, a miraculous sound, vibrated in the sky, which especially announced to Kamsa, "Kamsa, you are a fool. You are driving the chariot of your sister and your brother-in-law, but you do not know that the eighth child of your sister will kill you." Kamsa was the son of Ugrasena of the Bhoja dynasty, and he was the most demonic. Immediately upon hearing these prophetic words from the sky, he grabbed his sister Devaki's hair, and he pulled out his sword, and he was about to kill Devaki. Vasudeva was shocked at Kamsa's behavior and ordered to pacify his cruel, shameless brother-in-law. Vasudeva began to speak as follows. He spoke very sweet words. "My dear brother-in-law, Kamsa, you are the most famous king of the Bhoja dynasty, and people know that you are both a great warrior and you are a valiant king. How is it that such a warrior such as yourself is prepared to kill a woman who is your own sister, and at this auspicious time of her marriage? Oh, my dear brother-in-law, why should you be so afraid of death? Death is already born at the time of your own birth. From the very day you took your birth, you began to die. Suppose you are 25 years old. How old are you? Suppose you are 21 years old. That means you have already died 21 years. Every moment, every second you are dying. Why then should you be so afraid of death? It is inevitable. You may either die today or in 100 years, but no one can avoid death. Why be so afraid? Just see how the plant worms, the caterpillars, they change from one twig to another as they crawl across the plant. They do this so carefully. Similarly, the living entity carefully, the soul carefully changes his body as soon as it is time for him to leave one body, and it is and as soon as the higher authorities decide on his next bypass. Vasudev continued appealing to Kamsa. Devaki is after all your younger sister. And a younger sister is supposed to be protected as if she was one's own child. If you kill her, Vasudev said, it will go against your glorious reputation. But although Vasudev tried to pacify Kamsa by good instructions as well as by philosophical discrimination, Kamsa, although born in a very high royal family, was not to be pacified. He could not become peaceful in his mind because his association was all demonic. Failing despite his attempts, Vasudev wondered how he could protect Devaki. He thought, for the present, let me save the life of Devaki, and then later on, if there are children, I shall see how I can save their lives. He thought further, and if in the future I get a child who can kill Kamsa just as Kamsa's thinking, then both Devaki and his child will be saved because the law of destiny, providence, Daiva, it is inconceivable. But for now, let me somehow or another save the life of Devaki. So he began to speak, Vasudev began to speak to Kamsa with great respect. Although he was feeling great pain and worry in his heart, outwardly he smiled and he began to address shameless Kamsa. My dear brother-in-law, please consider that you have no danger from your sister. The voice in the sky indicated danger from the sons of your sister. They are not present now, and who knows? There may or may not be sons in the future. Considering all this, for the present, you are safe. Nor, in fact, do you have any fear directly from your sister. And I promise you, if there are any sons born of your sister, I promise that I shall present all of them to you, and then you can do with them as you please. Kamsa knew that Vasudev had done honest, completely 100% truthful. And he was convinced by the arguments of Kamsa for Vasudev. And for the time being, he stopped the heinous killing of his sister. And then Vasudev then tactfully praised Kamsa's decision. And he returned to his home. After due course of time, Vasudev and Devaki's first son was born. And Vasudev kept his word. And immediately, he brought the child before Kamsa. Although it was very painful for Vasudev to do this, he did it anyway. And Kamsa was so satisfied by Vasudev's behavior, he gladly received the child from him. And Kamsa became a little bit compassionate due to the honorable behavior of Vasudev. And he began to speak, my dear Vasudev, you need not present this child to me. I am not in any danger from this child. The voice that we heard in the sky said that it is the eighth child of you and Devaki who would kill me. So you can take this child back. And when Vasudev was returning home with his firstborn child, he was relieved due to Kamsa's behavior. But he could not truly believe that his child was safe because he knew that Kamsa's mind was uncontrolled and he could do anything at any moment. At that time, the great sage Narada Muni visited Kamsa. And Narada was very eager to accelerate the descent of Lord Krishna, and therefore he informed Kamsa that at this very moment in Vrindavan, personalities like Nanda Maharaj and their wives and the cowherd men, and on the other side Vasudev and his father Surasena, and all his relatives, and all the relatives born in the family of Vishnu of the Yadu dynasty, along with all their friends and all their wishers, they were actually demigods. Kamsa at once became alarmed, for he understood that since the demigods had already appeared, Vishnu himself, the Supreme Lord, would soon advent. And he at once arrested both his brother-in-law Vasudev and Devaki, and he locked them behind prison bars. And within the prison, shackled in iron chains, Vasudev and Devaki gave birth to one male child year after year. And Kamsa, thinking that each of the babies may be an incarnation of Vishnu, he killed them one after another. He was especially afraid of the eighth child. But after that visit of Narada, he came to the conclusion that any of the children might be the Lord, and that he should kill all the babies who took their birth from Devaki and Vasudeva. Kamsa then imprisoned his father, his own father, Ugrasena, because he was the chief king amongst the Yadu dynasty, and he occupied the kingdom of Vasudev's father, Surasena, and then he openly declared himself the king of all those places. Kamsa not only occupied the kingdom of the Yadu, Bhojanandaka dynasties, and the kingdom of Surasena, but he also made alliances with all the other demonic kings, such as Pralamba, Baka, Chanora, Trinavarta, Aga, Mushtika, Arista, Vidvid, Putana, Keshi, Danuka, Jarasandha, who was the king of the Magdha province. Thus Kamsa consolidated the most powerful kingdom of his time, and he made further alliances with Barasura and Bomasura until Kamsa himself was the strongest of rulers. He then began to behave in an inimical way towards the Yadu dynasty in which Krishna was to take his birth. And being harassed by Kamsa, the kings of the Yadu, Bhojanandaka dynasties began to take shelter in different states, such as the states of the Kurus and the Panchalas. And in this way, Kamsa made his position the most solid within the tract of land known at that time as Bharatvarsha. Then, when Devaki became pregnant for the seventh time, a plenary expansion of Krishna, known as Ananta, appeared within her womb. And Devaki was overwhelmed with both jubilation, extreme happiness, but lamentation. She was joyful, for she could understand that the Lord had taken shelter of her. But at the same time, she feared that as soon as her child would take birth, Kamsa would kill him. At that time, Mohini Devi, one of the other wives of Vasudeva, was residing in the house of King Nanda and Queen Yashoda in Vrindavan. Not only Mohini, but many other members of the Yadu dynasty were scattered all over the country,
due to fear of Kamsa. And some of them were even living in the caves of mountains. The Lord then ordered the appearance of Yogamaya, his internal potency, and informed Yogamaya under the imprisonment of Kamsa, or Devaki and Vasudeva. You can arrange the transfer of my plenary expansion, Shesha, who is now within the womb of Devaki. Transfer her, Shesha, from Devaki's womb to the womb of Rohini. And on account of his being forcibly attracted to the womb of Rohini, he will be known as Shankarshan, and he will be the source of all spiritual power, or bala, by which one can attain the highest bliss of life, which is called Rama. Therefore, the plenary portion Ananta will be known after his appearance, either as Shankarshan or in Vrindavan, he'll be known as Balaram. After this arrangement, the Lord said to Yogamaya, I am personally going to appear in the womb of Devaki with my full potencies as the son of Devaki and Vasudeva, and you should appear as the daughter of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. Thus ordered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yogamaya circumambulated the Lord and then appeared within the material world. And when Yogamaya, the supreme power of the supreme powerful personality of Godhead, she transferred Lord Shesha from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. At that time, both Devaki and Rohini were under Yogamaya's spell, Yoga Nidra. And when this was done, people were thought that Devaki's seventh pregnancy had been a miscarriage. Thus, although Balaram actually appeared as the son of Devaki, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to appear as her son. And after this arrangement, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the Lord of the whole creation, and who was always ready to protect his unalloyed devotees, he entered within the pure mind of Vasudeva with his full inconceivable potencies. And this caused Vasudeva to appear as effulgent as the glowing sun. And then the eternal personality of Godhead, Krishna, with his full potencies, transferred himself from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki, and thus the Lord entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudeva without being subject to any of the conditions an ordinary living entity is subjected to. And in this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Lord, who is one without a second, and who is the cause of the entire creation. At this time, Devaki was within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see her transcendental beauty, which resulted for her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Kamsa, however, he perceived that Devaki's beauty was inconceivable and unlimited, and he concluded at once that the Lord had taken shelter within her womb. She never before looked as wonderfully beautiful as she looked now. And Kamsa began to think, what should I do with Devaki? Surely she has Lord Vishnu, Krishna within her womb, so it is certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. Kamsa's demoniac thoughts were filled with worry. Even if I kill Devaki now, Vishnu's mission cannot be frustrated. He will then enforce his supreme will still more vehemently. Kamsa thus meditated on all the pros and cons of immediately killing Devaki. And finally, he He decided to wait for his child's birth. But from that moment on, Kamsa's mind became fully absorbed in fearful animosity against the personality of Godhead as he patiently waited for the delivery of the child, and he expected to kill that child just as he had done previously with all the children of Devaki. Thus, at every moment he began to think of Krishna as he slept, as he walked, as he ate, as he worked, in all the situations of his life. His mind became so absorbed, so much absorbed with the thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that indirectly, everywhere he looked, he could only see Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna. Oh,
suddenly, despite the demonic rule of Kamsa, the earth became completely peaceful. The birds began chirping, and it was in the middle of the night. And everywhere there were signs of good fortune. The wind began blowing pleasantly, blowing sweet breezes everywhere. Peacocks and birds began to dance. The Brahmins became happy because they heard incredible sounds from the sky that were announcing the birth of the Supreme Lord. And then, at exactly at the right moment, at 12 midnight, when things were adjusted perfectly, Krishna, who is in everyone's heart, he appeared in the darkness at night, directly in the prison where Vasudeva and Devaki were staying. He appeared with four arms, and in one of his arms he held a chakra, and another arm kansa, and another arm a gada, a club, and then in the fourth arm, a lotus. And he was beautiful. And his effulgence lit up the entire prison room. And there he was, just having taken birth, with full hair and ornaments of gold and jewels, with four arms. And Vasudeva looked at him and understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had taken his birth, even though it was in the prison. He had taken his birth as his own son. He wore helmets, jewels, ornaments of every kind, and Vasudeva, to see the Lord there, was struck with wonder. And he was overpowered by the joy of the occasion. And he thought, how is it possible? I'm an ordinary human being and I'm in prison. How is it possible that the Lord has become my son? Over and over again, Vasudeva glanced at his child. And he wondered how to celebrate this auspicious occasion. He thought that generally, this is an old custom, when a child is born, so much charity is given because the heart of the parents is overflooding with happiness, and a heart that's overflooding with happiness, it gives. So when an ordinary child is born, Vasudeva thought, the parents give so much in charity. But look who is my son. And my desire to give charity is unlimited. But look at my situation. I'm shackled in chains in a prison. I can give nothing. Vasudeva was such an exalted soul that the thought of not being able to give charity at this time, when his heart was overflooding with happiness, was intolerable for him, and it caused him so much pain. So in his mind, because he had no other choice, he gave away thousands and thousands and thousands of cows and thousands of pieces of gold in charity. And then he bowed, and with folded hands, he began to offer prayers to that same newborn child, his son, who was in his prison, who was flashing a lightning like effulgence. And then, after he offered his prayers, the Lord's mother, just imagine what it would be like to have motherly love or fatherly love for that Supreme Lord, the heart would be over melting and over flooded with ecstasy, divine ecstasy. So Devaki offered her prayers, acknowledging that her son was the Supreme Lord. But then her motherly feeling took over, and she said, "My Lord, although you are the unlimited Lord, still I fear for you, because Kamsa has killed my children, my other sons, one after the next. And although I am so happy to see you, I pray that you will hide your forearm form, because when Kamsa hears of your birth, he will immediately kill you." The Supreme Lord then replied to Devaki and Vasudeva's prayers. He explained the auspicious activities that they had performed previously to get the Lord as their son. And then he gave Vasudeva an instruction. He said, "I will change myself into a two-arm form. Because if I hadn't first appeared in my forearm form, you would never have believed that the Lord was your child. So I have first appeared in this forearm form, and then after I changed into a two-arm form, I want you to take me across the river." Which river? Jamuna River. "And exchange me with the newborn baby girl born of Mother Yashoda, who is Yogamaya. And then come back with that girl child." So then, why did Krishna do this? In the first verse of the Bhagavatam, he is known as Abhijyan Swarat. He knows everything and he is independent. And he wanted to perform his childhood pastimes amongst the great devotees in Vrindavan. So the Lord arranged to be transferred to the home of Danda and Yashoda. Then immediately he transformed himself into the most beautiful baby with two arms. And then Vasudeva immediately prepared to take his child from the delivery room, but he was shackled in chains and the doors were closed. And there were guards surrounding them. But by the power of Yogamaya, the guards fell asleep and the shackles fell off. And Vasudeva walked out of the prison holding in his arms beloved Krishna. Outside, what was the weather like? It was raining, it was storming, as it tends to do on Janmashtami nights. And it was dark because it was midnight. But immediately Ananta Shesha came and protected Vasudeva and the child from the rain. And there was an effulgence around. And when they got to the Yamuna River, the storms and the waves were so extreme, but the river parted so that Vasudeva could take Krishna across. And then Vasudeva quickly and quietly went to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Gokul. Raise your hand if you have ever been to Gokul Mahavan. Oh, so many devotees have been there. Raise your hand if you've ever bathed in the Jamuna. Raise your hand if you've ever been to Krishna Balaram Mandir. Raise your hand. Oh, we're going to get very excited the more we go on with this. Raise your hand if you've ever walked around Govanan Hill. Raise your hand if you would like to do all these things.
Haribo!
Raise your hand and say Haribo! Vasudeva took the child from Yashoda, took the girl child and exchanged beautiful Krishna for Yogamaya, and then he quickly went back across the Yamuna, back into the prison, and the doors closed and he put the shackles around him, and then that child began to cry. Do we have any children here who are willing to demonstrate the sound of a crying child? Yes, please. Cry for us. Yes, just like that. Thank you very much. You know something? I will tell you a secret. What's your name? It's not unless your name is Uma. Harishi? Harishi. I will tell you a secret. Would you like to hear a secret? Okay. Everyone else, close your ears. If you can cry for Krishna when you chant, with the mood of sincere crying, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, when will that day be mine? Will I be able to be in your association and presence? If you can cry to Krishna while you chant, immediately you will be with Krishna. But don't tell anyone, okay? So then, the baby cried, and the guards immediately went and informed Kamsa. And comes to get up from his bed. This was the moment he had been waiting for years. His hair was disheveled. He went to the prison house. He opened the door. He saw Devaki in bed with what she thought was a newborn baby girl, and comes to grab that girl. Devaki prayed, "Please, please, my brother." The voice in the sky indicated that a male child will kill you, but this is a daughter. She can be your son's wife. Please spare her. You have killed my other children one after another as they have taken birth, shining like the sun. Please allow me this daughter. Then he picked up that newborn child and began to dash her against the stone. And that child, who was Yogamaya, flew up into the sky and chastised Kamsa. "You rascal! You think you can kill me?" The child who is born to kill you has already taken his birth somewhere else. You should not be so cruel to your sister. Now comes this worshipable deity who is Durga Devi. And Yogamaya appeared in that form in the sky, and Kamsa began to shake, and he immediately began to feel he had committed the greatest mistake by one after another killing the children of his sister. He thought, "I knew that people in the world lied, but I never knew that voices in the sky didn't tell the truth previously. But now see what the world is coming to. Prophetic voices aren't true." And then he bowed to Devaki and Vasudeva and beg their forgiveness. "I have acted so cruelly because I believed that prophetic voice, but you are so good-hearted.
You are so soft-hearted and gentle. Forgive me.
And then he began to preach philosophy. Yes, even those who are demons can sometimes preach philosophy if it suits them. So he said, one cannot avoid one's fate. He spoke so much wonderful philosophy, but no use hearing a demon's philosophy. So he asked them to forgive, and they forgave, because this is the nature. Please listen to this carefully. This is the nature of a devotee. He forgives. It is the nature of a soft-hearted devotee. He forgives. And they forgave Kamsa. And Vasudev began to preach to Kamsa and said, anyway, it is our fate that this has happened. And they relieved Kamsa's feeling of misery even. So astounded. And then Kamsa went home. And the next morning he told his friends, who were his demonic ministers, what had happened the night before. And they said, this is terrible. We have a better plan. And our plan is that every child that has taken its birth in the last 10 days, we should kill them indiscriminately. And we should give trouble and cause misery and even kill any saintly person who is nearby. And the demigods, the devatas, they cannot in any way stop us. They are brave when it is peacetime, but when it's time for war, they are cowardly. And then they began to flatter Kamsa. The demigods come to you and surrender out of fear. We have nothing to fear from them. Just give us the order to kill and cause trouble, and we'll immediately do so. And in this way, Kamsa and his demonic ministers traveled all over the countryside of Braja, one after another, and tried to kill Krishna. The next day, although Vasudev could not perform the birth ceremony of his child, Nanda Maharaj and all of Braja had celebrated because Krishna had taken them. They had thought that Nanda Maharaj had given birth to this wonderful, wonderful child who is so beautiful and so attractive. The pastimes go on and on. This is Nitya Leela. Then Vasudev, the next day, practically speaking, Nanda Maharaj went to Mathura to pay his taxes. Do you know why he did that so quickly after Krishna was born? Because he did not want Kamsa to come and collect them. Because he did not want Kamsa to see this beautiful baby Krishna. Because Kamsa's heart was full of envy. Okay, let us not stop, but let us start more chanting of Krishna's names for a few minutes before we begin the Abhishek. But let us chant very, very like Krishna, like crying for Krishna, with full-hearted chanting of Krishna's name. Abhina tam nama namano, and when we chant Krishna's names fully, Krishna is immediately there with us. Please chant Krishna's name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,